Thanks for joining the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform and encourage those who love kids and serve in kids and family ministry. Let's join in today's episode.
Welcome to another edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast, and my name's Tom Bump, and I'm your host. And hey, I am super excited. I know some of you are going to say, hey, he says that every time. But hey, I am excited about what I share with you guys on the KMC podcast. And I'm super excited today because I finally get this guy on the podcast. I've been wanting to connect up with him for years. And I tell you, I'll say this. We had a pre-call a couple weeks ago before I recorded this, and we talked for like 2 hours, and I feel like I've got a new best friend out of this guy. And I'm so blessed that I look forward to seeing what God's going to do in our partnership. But he's a walking miracle, a testimony of God's power, proof that God always has a plan that's amazingly good. Charlie Bancroft, aka Uncle Charlie, welcome to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast.
Hey, thanks, Tom. It's great to be here, man.
Oh, I'm so glad to get you on here, and we've had so much fun. I told him when we were talking on the phone a couple weeks ago, we should have been recording the entire session because it was so good. And if you've ever hung out with this guy at all, he is a gift of encouragement, and I just love it. So thank you for joining me, and I'm excited for people to hear about what you're doing. And because they may have been, you know, they may have been familiar with you using the Made to Praise worship stuff, but for some, they may never have heard it. So, Charlie, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you've been doing, and then we'll get into what you're doing now in just a minute.
Yeah, sure. You bet. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it, man. Yeah, my ministry career goes back about 40 years. Can you believe that, man? Can you believe I'm even that old?
Nope.
I started when I was 2, man. What can I say? But anyway... Yeah, 21 years in youth ministry, and then when I was 40 years old, I asked my wife, I said, honey, what do you think about this? I think that God is calling me away from the local church to start my own ministry. And her response was, what have you been smoking? You know. So anyway, long story short, in 1997, that's when I became Uncle Charlie. And I'll tell you guys how I got that name here in just a minute. It's pretty unique. It's pretty neat story. But anyway, I had a 15-year career doing that and then finally retired from the touring and recording. And now what I do is I take the videos that I have made and I learn how to make new videos. And I have like a video streaming ministry for kids, especially kids fighting life's toughest battles. And I know that we'll be getting into that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I'm doing now.
That is so cool of and I told you off air that, you know, I used your Made to Praise stuff for many years in kids ministry have recommended it to a lot of people that are searching. So if you are still looking for kids worship stuff, go check out his Made to Praise stuff because it is great stuff, great resource.
I'm the guy that wouldn't go away, Tom. Yeah.
And we're thankful for that. We really are.
It's really because a lot of the music, especially the fun music, I found that even though as adults our lifespan for music is so short, you know, the shelf life of music is so short for us because we tire of a song pretty quickly. We want to move on to something else. But with kids, what I learned a long time ago, it's all about ownership. And so it's like, I know that song. I want to do it again. Or I know the motions. I can get excited about that. And so kids want to repeat over and over and over where we just want to just, okay, well, I'm ready to move on, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why the music has stayed around so long and is still so successful. And while I was doing the music, just so people out there will know, they may not know about this whole Uncle Charlie name and everything, but I actually, when I was traveling and doing the music, I was invited with a missionary to go to Africa. And long story short, ended up in Uganda, East Africa, ministering to over 1,000 orphan children there. And the children were raised in a community by a ministry called Watoto, W-A-T-O-T-O. That's a Swahili word that means the children in Luganda or Swahili. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So Watoto would take care of these children, and I would lead a camp for over 1,000 of these children. I went 4 years in a row. And these kids, believe it or not, speak English. They speak their native tongue. Some speak Swahili and Lugandan, but they also speak English, and they speak with that kind of British flair to them, because there's a lot of British influence in Eastern Africa, right? So they would say, Uncle Charlie, Uncle Charlie. And I thought, why are you calling me Uncle Charlie? Well, come to find out, that's their term of endearment for all adults, is uncle and auntie. Uh-huh. And several countries have that custom that, you know, if you're an elder, to show respect to you, they will call you uncle or auntie. So that's where the name Uncle Charlie came from, in case anybody was wondering.
Very cool. Yeah, yeah. That is such a great story. It's funny because I told you that, you know, you're the second Uncle Charlie that I've ever had the privilege of knowing. And it's so, right. It's so neat that both of you, you know, Charlie Vandermeer from Children's Bible Hour and Keys for Kids, had a great ministry and a love for children. And both of you use music. And I found that fascinating, how God brought two Charlies into my life. Both of them love music. Both of you had little monkeys involved, and I think this is so fun. But you got started in music, and you were doing, like you mentioned, a lot of traveling, a lot of camps, a lot of conferences, and then you went through a horrific car accident. Tell us a little bit about what happened, and then how that led you into a new vision of ministry. God really changed courses for you. I'm sure in a play that you weren't expecting, for sure.
No kidding. You know, I was just rocking along with Uncle Charlie. It was in my 15th year, on November the 15th, which is not far from today, November the 15th, 2007. I was on my way to a concert with my buddy Keith Coast. We did a lot of things together, and we had a big concert lined up. We had over 800 tickets sold to this thing. I was on my way to that concert, and I never made it to that concert, man. I was going down a two-lane highway, and another car that was coming the opposite way got into my lane. I never saw them get into my lane. We were both doing 65 miles an hour at impact. There were no brakes used in the accident. It was horrific, and unfortunately, they didn't survive the accident. I was the only one that did. But here's what I remember about it. I was trapped in the car for about an hour and a half, and it took 10 firefighters, paramedics, whoever it was helping me in there. It took 10 of them to try to get me out of that car using the jaws of life and everything else. I was so crushed in the car, Tom. I couldn't breathe. I was out instantly, and then when I woke up, there was one of the firefighters there talking to me, trying to keep me calm while the others were working. My hand had gone completely through the dashboard. I'm not kidding when I say that.
Wow.
And when they finally got it out, I thought it was completely severed. I thought it was gone. And that was my guitar hand. And my first thought was, how am I going to play the guitar? Thoughts run through your mind, you know? But man, I could barely breathe. I was crushed in there. I felt so trapped and caged in. When they finally got me out, here's a neat thing about that story. Going back just a little bit, when I was a kid, I used to always gripe about being too small, that God made me too small.
Yeah.
And I would always go to my mom and say, Mom, why did God make me so small? What's he doing? You know, and she was always trying to encourage me, and she was a great encourager with that. You know, it's how big your heart is. It's not how big your size is. What? And so, but I always kind of grew up thinking, why did God make me so small? When I was on the gurney, ready to go to the helicopter to go to the hospital, okay, one of the paramedics bent over and he told me, you better thank God that you're small, because if you were any bigger or any taller, there's no way you could have survived this thing.
Wow.
At that moment, those childhood questions came back to my mind, and I thought, now I know why you made me so small. Lord, thank you. You knew what you were doing, right?
Wow.
So that recovery was really brutal. I had over 20 broken bones. I had a lot of internal damage, and I had brain trauma, Tom, that caused me to stutter for like almost 2 years, and I stuttered so bad, Tom, that when you and I would try to talk like we're talking now, yeah. it wasn't coming out, man.
Yeah.
I knew what I wanted to say, but I couldn't get it out, right?
Yeah.
And I made these loud Tourette's noises, dude. These loud, gosh, awful, like Kung Fu Panda noises. I'd be standing in line at Walmart, and I'd just be, make this noise, yeah. and everybody kind of clear the line. Yeah. And I thought, now I can make money doing this. I can get people through the line really, really fast if I was an entrepreneur, right? So anyway, yeah. And so that was a really rough time to go through, but God pulled me through. And I want to tell you, you know, to this day, I'm so thankful. Tom, I've got boxes and boxes and boxes full of get well cards of kids writing prayers, mm-hmm. kids groups from all over the country who had used my music before and knew who I was, praying for me and just wishing me well. I still, to this day, have those boxes yeah. full of cards and letters and notes. And it's because of the prayers of those kids and the prayers of the people around me, even internationally. God answers prayers, and I'm a miracle to be alive. I should not be standing here talking to you. They didn't know if I was going to make it the first couple of days.
Yeah.
You know? And so I'm a miracle to be just talking to you, much less in good health without the stuttering, without the Tourette's noises. You know, again, God answered prayer. It was about a 2-year journey, you mm-hmm. know, but mm-hmm. God answered that prayer. But here's what that did for me, Tom.
Yeah.
You know, I say that life is like a puzzle, and when you build a puzzle, you put all the pieces together and they fit and you have a beautiful picture. But you know, when you take a look at those individual pieces, some of them look kind of dingy, you know, like, mm-hmm. okay, that one's not so hot. Some of them look like, I like this one. It's got the bright colors that I like, you know, and all that, right? Well, being Uncle Charlie was a bright piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
Being a youth pastor for 21 years before that was a bright piece of the puzzle. There was a lot of ministry in there that God used me for. That accident was not the bright piece of the puzzle. It was a dingy piece. But I want to tell you something. No matter what kind of pieces of the puzzle we go through in our lives, God uses those pieces together. You know where it says in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so they work together for good. They fit together to make that beautiful masterpiece that he already sees. And
yeah.
so he saw the accident coming. He knew it was coming. He knew how he was going to use it. Well, what it did is it gave me an empathy, Tom, for other kids who, let's say they're trapped inside of their bodies. You know?
Yeah.
I think of the kid in the wheelchair. I think of the kid with, you know, CP or MS. Or I think of the kid with special needs. The kid battling autism. You know, in one form or another, they're all trapped inside of their body too.
Yeah.
Maybe some of them are nonverbal. Maybe they know what they want to say and they can't get it out, right?
Right.
And I think a lot of times as adults, we walk right past these kids and marginalize them, not because we despise them. It's because we may not know how to treat them. We may not know what to say, right?
Right.
And so God just kind of put on my heart, Charlie, you know, take all those things that you've been doing and let's reach out to the marginalized. Let's reach out to those that would be considered by some as the least of these. And so I've always had a heart for the underdog kid anyway, and all of my ministry, yeah. I was always drawn to him. And I thought, okay, well, that makes sense. But how can I do that, Lord? I can't tour anymore.
Yeah.
You know? And so it was like, let's start with the music that you've already made. Let's make it applicable. Let's make it accessible so that these kids can have it in their homes, to where you're bringing the gospel to them in their homes, because many of them can't go to church.
Right.
So that's why I created what we call VBG, Valued by God. And it's morphed into a free app that kids can use at home on any device. And that's all they do is press and play. My music videos, my teaching videos, puppets. I've got guys helping me, you know, with their videos. It's got all kinds of variety, and it's all to bring faith, hope, and love to those that are marginalized. You know,
yeah.
I just want to bring the church to them.
Yes. And that is so cool. Well, tell us a little bit more about the Value by God. You know, you started that online because, again, this is where God shifted your focus yeah. from travel to more of the online platform. Because some people may not even know about what this is. So tell us a little bit about the online platform.
Yeah. And so what I did is I created the app called VBG. It can be bought, it can be gotten in any app stores. It's free. And I wanted to make it a free ministry because my ministry is a 501c3 ministry, and I have people who support my ministry, and I try to gain more supporters so that I can keep creating more videos for the kids, you know, and that kind of thing. And so it's a combination of my music videos, you know, my fun songs, my fast songs, my slow songs, whatever. I have a thing called Mighty Minutes on there where I use object lessons and interactive lessons with them to try to teach them God's truth. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, being valued. Being, you know, hey, I'm valued by God. I'm made with a purpose. I'm handcrafted. I'm accepted. You know, all these kind of things that these kids need to hear, because you never know what they're really hearing,
right.
You know, and you never know what they're really thinking about. You know, I try to get them to focus not on what they can't do physically, but what they can do. God still created them with a purpose. They have a place,
yes.
Right?
Right.
And so when I first started BBG and created the app, it was specifically for that people group, because that's the first ones that came to mind because of the accident. But then it morphed into other kids fighting life's toughest battles, because that was my initial dream. I knew where I needed to start, and I needed to start with that group because I'd done a few camps for them and realized that the only thing they want is love and attention like everybody else,
yeah.
You know? And so being in front of them and seeing how they reacted to my music, oh my gosh, Tom, you've never seen anything like it, man. It's like Santa just came to town, man, when they sing Uncle Charlie's music. And so, so that's kind of where it started. And then it's kind of expanded from there.
Yeah. And during your, you know, you went from the online platform, music to online platform, but you also had this little monkey that traveled around with you.
Yeah.
And like I said, the first Uncle Charlie I came in with, he had this monkey puppet that he would bring out in front of kids. And it was hilarious how this simple little, you could buy one of these at Walmart.
Yeah.
It was the old monkey with the squeaker in it. And and he could make the room. I mean, I watched him in a room of 150 kids at summer camp, and you could have heard a pin drop in that room because they were so fixated on Charlie and his monkey. And so you had this little monkey that you called Carlitos that you started doing some stuff with. Tell us a little bit about that, because that's what started something else that came along in your life.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy how that little thing has morphed also. When I was touring as Uncle Charlie and doing all of the camps and the concerts and that kind of thing, I would always tell the story of how I got my name, Uncle Charlie, in Africa. Well, the kids in Africa also gave me a nickname. They called me Monkey Charlie, and long story short, it's because I grow hair on my arms, of course, but Ugandan people don't grow hair on their arms or their legs. And so when they see a hairy American, it's the coolest thing they've ever seen. And I sit there and I'll play with my arm all day long. Monkey Charlie, Monkey Charlie. So when I come home to these camps in the United States and I tell the kids these stories, they all started calling me Monkey Charlie. And I thought, man, you know, the entrepreneurial side of me thought, I need to milk this for what it's worth. Right? So I found, when I was touring, I found this crazy little slingshot monkey. You've probably seen these in the stores or somewhere, novelty stores and stuff like that. But it's a slingshot little furry monkey that you pull back on your two fingers, and he wears goggles like flying goggles, and he has a cape. And when you shoot him in the air, he'll scream that monkey sound. And I hate to say this, Tom, but I sold more of those than I did my own CDs. When I was here at camp, the children's pastors, the kids loved me because they loved the monkeys. The children's pastors hated me because those monkeys kept them up at night when they fall off the bunk or whatever. Right?
Yes, yes.
So I kept telling my wife, Tammy, then I said, you know, this is a fun idea. And it was all just for fun. You know, I said, but someday that monkey just may make me a living someday. You know? Well, so fast forward all these years. Now, this was several years ago. Fast forward all these years. I've always had Carlitos in the back of my mind, but never knew how I was going to use them. I can tell you what my dream is, and still my ultimate dream with him, is to write a children's book series called The Adventures of Carlitos. Carlitos means Little Charlie in Espanol. And so when I do a voiceover for Carlitos, I like it to be a little bit of Hispanic overtone to kind of give that Carlitos kind of flair, and where he's really cute and understand, you know, kind of, so that's how he's going to develop. But my ultimate goal for him is to have a character series book where maybe he'll meet other characters in his adventures that teach him, like, the fruit of the spirit and the kind of things that kids need to have, you know, as they grow up, you know, be kind to one another, all those kinds of things, all those Christian virtues, right? So that's my ultimate goal with him. Well, you know, so VBG is rocking along. I mean, look, we're reaching all kinds of kids with special needs and all kinds of other kids, and it's morphing to all kinds of other kids that have, you know, that are fighting some kind of a battle. But then in 2018, was just last year, remember in our conversation, I mentioned to you puzzle pieces and how some pieces are really pretty and some pieces aren't. Well, I got another bad piece of the puzzle. I got diagnosed with cancer in 2018.
Wow.
And so I'm going through 2018, just treatment after treatment, you know, doing all this. And in the middle of one of my treatments, which was actually a surgery, in the middle of that, while my wife was in the waiting room waiting on me, she gets a phone call that she'd been diagnosed with cancer. So wow. 2018 was my wife and I both going through cancer at the same time. And, you know, it will make you question a little bit. You know, when that kind of stuff happens, you know, God already pulled me through one miracle, you know?
Yeah.
And so I turned around, I was trying to use that miracle for him and make his masterpiece look as great as he wants it, right? And so all of a sudden we get this setback. And I'm thinking, wow, okay. And it causes you to ask a lot of questions, but here's where Tammy and I landed with that. Tammy and I landed with this. We serve a sovereign God, number one.
Hmm.
He already saw it coming. It didn't take him by surprise. The accident didn't take him by surprise, and neither did the cancer. When we go through that journey, God walks with us in that journey, but he's already there on the other side as well. And so we knew he was there waiting for us no matter what the outcome was going to be. And so our responsibility was to have joy in the journey, number one. It's easy to say and hard to do,
right?
Okay. But as we put our faith in him and trusted his sovereignty and trusted his promises and said, okay, Lord, you want us to bloom where we're planted now, okay? You've planted us at Moffitt Cancer Center. You've planted us at the radiation center, okay? That's our mission field for right now. This is where you put us for a reason, right? So we would think of ways that we could use whatever gifts and abilities that we had to bless those people that were serving us, the doctors and the nurses, to be a witness and a blessing to those that were getting other treatments for their cancer. And so Tammy would make scripture scarves. I would come up with all kinds of ideas. And we would just try to just... like I said, bloom where we're planted and make the most out of a mess, if you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, right.
And
right.
So I think God honored that decision, because when I was with Tammy one day, as she was getting her infusion treatments, it's an all day thing, right? So we're sitting here, I'm in the room with her, and all of a sudden I got to thinking about all these other little underdog kids that I'm always thinking about anyway, but I thought about specifically kids with cancer. I thought, what can I do for them? Well, I want them to have the app, of course, but how can I get the app to them? I mean, you just don't walk into a room and say, hey, use my app, you know? You know? And I thought, you know what? Every kid that I've ever seen in a hospital, you know, that's there for any significant reason at all, usually has something to hold on to. They have a teddy bear. They have a puppy dog. They have whatever it is, some kind of a comfort toy, right?
Right.
Carlitos.
Yeah.
God just brought it to my heart right then and right there. Carlitos, that this is his purpose. He's not just a fun gimmick toy.
Yeah.
Not now. Uh-uh. He's got a purpose, dude. And we are going to take this journey that you're on now. We're going to turn that piece of the puzzle into something better. And so God gave me the idea, and I began to work with 7 different companies overseas to try to get him made just right. I wanted a 10-inch really soft, really furry monkey. He needed to be really comfortable to hold. But he needed to be more, Tom, than just a comfort monkey. Anybody can make one of those. It goes deeper for me. Yeah. I want to lead them to the one who gives them the comfort, right?
Yes.
So we came up with the idea of putting the Be Brave patch on him. So he is Carlitos the Be Brave monkey. And where Be Brave comes from is the scripture verse, Joshua 1:9, where it says, "Be strong and courageous. Don't fear. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And that was kind of a go-to verse for me when I was a youth pastor, you know, when I had kids that were struggling. And I thought this would be a great go-to verse for not only special needs kids, but how about those kids that are going through cancer? How about those kids that are going through surgery? How about the kid that lives in a children's home? How about the kid that's being newly fostered or newly adopted? How about the kid who just lost their parent, you know, or their sibling? And trust me, Carlitos has gone to every one of those kind of kids already. And so, you know, what I'm thinking about, kids fighting life's toughest battles, the strategy with Carlitos is to give them a comfort toy they can hold. He comes with a scripture card that has the Joshua 1:9 on it. So it reminds them to be brave because God is with them no matter what journey it is that they're going through right now. But the card and his tag lead the kids to his website. He's got his own website. It's fun. It's interactive. I mean, matter of fact, my web guy and I are working on more interactive things to do on there for them. But they get to see Carlitos talk through 8 or 9 or 10 different scriptures, you know, that all are about being brave. And he'll give a little scenario about, yeah, I was afraid to swim, but God helped me because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, you know, and that little Hispanic overtone of his. And this is so cute. And so they get to see him talk about more scriptures that lead them to be brave. But also they get a taste of my music videos and a taste of my teaching videos. And then the parents from that website can download my free app where they get everything.
Yeah.
And so you see, now Carlitos is the tip of the iceberg, gives immediate comfort, but leads them to his website, leads them to my app. And I keep adding to the app all the time. And it's a way that I can bring church, so to speak, to these kids that are fighting a life's toughest battle. So see, again, the bad puzzle piece worked together for something good, didn't it? Isn't it cool how
that
it just all
so
together?
Cool. We serve an amazing God who...
Yeah, only he can do that, man.
Only he can, you know, well, he sees the whole puzzle, right? You know?
Exactly.
That is...
Exactly,
so tell us a little bit, and I'm sure you have a million stories, but tell us a few, how is God using that little monkey? Because I've watched you now for a while as Carlito started coming out, and I see you sharing stories all the time of just different kids that are in different places that, I mean, he's going around the world now.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah, I've got missionaries taking him to Dominican Republic. He's in Canada right now, ministering to people in Canada. There's just a lot of other things going on. But basically what happens is this, now that I've gotten the word out about Carlitos, you wouldn't believe, I mean, I get messages all the time on Facebook, and Facebook is probably my biggest outreach, because I can target with, like, if I want to say something about Carlitos, I can target people who are interested in kids with special needs, you know, or kids with cancer or whatever, so they get to see that Carlitos is blessing these kids. And so it's a free thing for them, because, you know, people support my ministry.
Yeah.
It's a giveaway ministry. I'm just trying to minister to them. I'm not trying to make money off these families at all.
Yeah.
No way.
Right.
And so they come to me, Tom. I mean, hey, I've got this kid, or I know a family that's got a kid this way.
Uh-huh.
And children's pastors may know of somebody, you know, that they can hook me up with or whatever. And man, I'm just like, hey, I want you to have this. I send them the stuff. And you wouldn't believe, man, I get thank you notes. I get emails, I get messages from the parents of these kids, and they send me, a lot of them send me pictures of their, you know, for instance, a little kid going through a really bad form of cancer in California. And boy, it's so cool. His name is Caleb. And Caleb, he's a warrior. Man, he is just a spiritual warrior, this little kid. He's 8 years old. And it just so happens to be, and I had no idea about this, he's adopted from Uganda, the place that I used to go and minister to kids. Isn't that crazy?
That's awesome.
Man, And so they'll send me a picture of him in the hospital bed holding his monkey, just as proud as he can be, you know, and he understands the whole be brave concept and the whole Joshua 1:9. And I'll get, like, it wasn't long ago, I got a little message from a mom. She goes, I just want you to know, I walk my little girl to school every day. And her little girl has really bad anxiety issues. That's her battle that she's fighting. Yeah. And so when they walk to school together, she carries Carlitos with her. Okay. Now she has to give Carlitos back to her mom before she goes in the class. But when she gives it back to her mom, she makes Carlitos whisper in her ear, be brave today, be brave today. So you can see that it's having an impact on her,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And another mom told me that her little girl was praying, and her prayer that evening was, and Lord, help me to be brave like Carlitos.
Oh, that's awesome.
So this whole be brave concept,
yeah,
is a way to really reach these kids, and they grasp what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, because kids, there's always something to be scared of, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And especially if they're traveling through a tough journey, man. And so it's bringing a lot of encouragement. It's more than just bringing a smile. It's bringing a lot of encouragement. But these parents will also tell me that the kids are really into the app.
Yeah.
You know? So that's, to me, the meat of the ministry.
Wow. I love hearing those stories, and I love this concept. And so, you know, with all of these changes and things, you know, you have learned a lot, I am sure. And there are probably even some ministry leaders out there that maybe they're struggling with some things. Mm-hmm. They're feeling a little stuck. They're wrestling. Maybe they know they need to start something new, and maybe they need to develop a ministry that they've been wrestling with, but they're like, boy, I've got a lot of fear. I've got a lot of doubt. What have you learned, and what advice could you give somebody? Because obviously you had to overcome a lot to get to where you are now and what God is doing with it. So can you share a little insights and encouragement to the leaders listening that may be feeling some of those kind of things, and maybe they need to get a Carlitos for themselves.
Yeah, they need a Be Brave
monkey. I'm starting to think I need a Be Brave monkey myself. I'm going to have to get one.
Yeah, for real, right?
Yes.
Well, here's the thing. And look, I can understand where a lot of them come from too, because I remember that uncomfortable feeling I had when I was a youth pastor for 21 years, and all of a sudden I felt like that God was calling me to my own ministry. And I thought, what are you giving up here, man? I mean, we just got a brand new youth building built, you know, and I'm thinking either this is God's will or you're crazy, you know? And of course, my wife's typical response, you know, that I told you about at that time. But you know what? God really was dealing with me. And my encouragement would be this. Number one, if you feel that God is prompting your heart to start some kind of a new ministry, number one, I think, and the most important thing, is bloom where you're already planted. Don't think so much about that future unknown thing that it hinders what you're doing right now, because God has you there for a reason right now, today. Who's that person you can minister to today? And don't overlook that because you're looking too far into the future, okay? Yeah. That's my number one encouragement, okay? Bloom where you're planted right now. And at number two, know this. Fear and doubt, I think, are Satan's biggest two weapons he uses to prevent the kingdom of God from being spread, you know?
Yeah. Amen.
He's a liar by nature. And so anytime you have a fear or a doubt, what I did is I took those fears and doubts to the Word of God. And whatever fear and doubt that I was facing at the time, you know, look, I'm not as good as somebody else, or I'm just not as gifted or talented. Look, dude, I can't read music. I've never taken a voice lesson or a guitar lesson in my life. I'm the most unqualified guy to do children's music that probably ever lived, okay? But if God wants it, God will equip you, okay? He doesn't what's that saying? He doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called.
Yeah.
Okay? And so, and how he's done with me is he's supplied on the fly, man. There are some gifts and talents that he's given me, of course, you know, and he's given me a passion and all that. But what I'm saying is when the devil creeps those lies in and they start haunting us in our minds, because mind, that's the greatest battlefield going on right there. And so take it to the truth. And the truth about God's word is that, hey, man, we're God's workmanship, created for good works that he prepared for us long ago. He already knew what he wanted me to do long ago. So I'm like, okay, well, that's fine, devil. All right. You say I'm not qualified. God said I'm his workmanship. So I'm gonna keep this train rolling, you know? And so you walk by faith, believing God's truths and God's promises. And I can tell you this, that if you're seeking God in that situation, God, do you want me to start this kind of ministry? Do you want me to, go this way or that way or start this or start that? I do believe God puts those passions in our hearts and he stirs the nest, so to speak, like an eagle stirs the nest and makes it uncomfortable for that little one. So he'll get out, start flying, right?
Yeah.
I think sometimes that's what happens to us. And when we feel that, immediately we need to start searching scripture and spending time with God so that we can hear, be close to him. So we can hear his voice, like the shepherd and the sheep, that sheep knows his voice, right?
Yeah.
Well, the closer we are to God in that walk, in that faith journey, the more we can hear his voice. And so the more we're prompted, here's one thing that helped me. Somebody once told me, there's pain, there's purpose in your pain, Charlie. Mm-hmm. Go back and look at the things that you've been through in your life. Look, I was raised in a single parent family. My family went bankrupt when so I've always had a heart for the orphan. I've always had a heart for the poor. Okay. Well, you take that with the incidents that's happened in my life, and look how God can turn around and use them for good, right?
Right.
And I've always a friend of mine wrote this for me. I want to read it because it's so cool. She said, God gives a platform for ministry in the difficult intersections of life where pain and faith collide so that we can use it for the kingdom.
Wow.
That's pretty steep. I like that. Wow. God gives a platform for ministry in the difficult intersections in life where pain and faith collide so that we can use it for the kingdom. And so, you know what? God can use what I learn in the storm to help somebody else in their storm. So that's kind of was the kicker for me with verses that would apply to that. And God said that he would provide a way, and God said that he would meet our needs. We're either going to believe that or we're not, right?
Right.
So we're going to believe the promises that he's given us. We're going to go the direction. And I think many times ministry is created out of things that happened in our past that we feel a calling to address, to correct, to encourage, And so that's how God has used me in my life. And I would say this. It's all about God's timing. Yeah. God gave me dreams long ago when I was in small churches that I could never fulfill, but he allowed me to do them in later churches that I served in, right?
Yeah.
And so just because God puts something in your heart doesn't mean it has to be done right then. Don't jump ahead of God. I've tried that before, Tom.
Me too.
It doesn't work when you jump ahead of God, but he's patient with us and he'll redirect us back on the path. But it's all about his timing, and we have to trust that he's working in the unseens to put all those other things together.
Yes.
That in putting the right people in our place. So I would say never give up, persevere, persistence, resilience, faith, all those things work together in that journey. And it's a journey. It doesn't happen overnight. I'm not going to sit here and tell you starting a new ministry is easy, because it's not. You better have perseverance. You better not give up. You got to stay focused. And you can't let circumstances dictate your emotions as far as, I guess God didn't call me to this because it didn't work out today.
Right.
We're going to have those bumps in the road, man. But, God can help us be consistent through all that. And so it's about God's timing. It's about letting him put those pieces of the puzzle together. It's about letting him birth an idea in you and let it flourish when he's ready. In the meantime, bloom where you're planted. Trust him. Don't believe the lies of the devil. Trust the promises. Trust the truth. So that's kind of my encouragement to those who are starting.
Oh, amen. You got me. You're leaving the host speechless right here, because I'm just like, okay, God's talking right to my heart. And thank you, Charlie. Thank you for speaking those words. For me and for others.
Doesn't it, buddy? It takes bravery to start anything. It takes bravery for you to start what you're doing. Yeah. It takes bravery for me to start what I'm doing. You know, and look, bravery's not the lack of fear.
All right.
Bravery is like, okay, I'm scared, but I'm going to saddle up and do it anyway. That's what John Wayne said. Remember John Wayne, little cowboy?
Yeah, man.
It's not being afraid to fall off that. It's saddling up anyway, dude, in spite of fear, you know?
That's right.
And so we don't let the fear dictate us and paralyze us, because that's where the devil gets the victory.
Right. Amen. And and what is so neat is that little Carlitos is helping kids even overcome their some of their greatest fears. And so I know that people are going to want to, and I'm going to strongly encourage, hey, there's lots of ways for you and your churches to partner with Charlie and Carlitos. And you may know children that need to get Carlitos into their arms. And so, Charlie, where can they go to get more information and figure out how to get a Carlitos for a child they know?
I love it. That's great. Yeah, Carlitos can serve two purposes in the church. One of them is if you're a children's pastor and you know of somebody you want to minister to, let's say you have a kid that's just going in the hospital next week or whatever, and you're looking for something to minister to him with, well, this is more than a comfort monkey. We've already talked about what he does and where he leads. And so you can purchase a Carlitos for that kid, you know, or for any other kid that you want to minister to personally. And the website is carlitosforkids.com. And it's the number four, okay, Carlitos, the number four, kids.com. Okay. And I have a purchase page on there. Man, you can find out the whole ministry. Look at all the pictures of the kids that he's helping. But the other way that the church could help is this. And this is how, this is what keeps Carlitos, the wheels going on him. Of course, I've told you before, I'm a nonprofit ministry. And so I have people help support my ministry and so that I could, you know, basically kind of keep doing this. But what keeps Carlitos afloat is this. A lot of churches, for instance, let's say Bible school, Vacation Bible School, they have mission offerings that they take up during their Vacation Bible School, right? Mm-hmm. And so they adopt a mission or adopt a mission program or a missionary somewhere. And I've been saying, well, I started this last year and it worked out fantastic. We had a number of churches that would adopt Carlitos as their missionary. And so for every $20 that they raised, they would get a monkey that their group can give away. And it would also help me either give me a monkey to give away or put the money back in so that I can keep them coming so that I can keep giving them away in my ministry. So their mission offering was really supporting two missions, mine and theirs. And a lot of those kids would say, you know, let's say they got like 100, they earned, 100 monkeys, you know, to give away. Well, I would ship those monkeys back to that church. And they would decide as their group how they were going to give them away. Some of them have adopted children's homes. One church has adopted a center for grieving kids that just lost their parents over the last year. Mm. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
The children's unit at the hospital, you know, all kinds of things. And also just individual kids that they know at school who are going through a tough time, you know. And some schools have like special ed classes and that kind of thing. They can adopt that special ed class and make sure these kids get a monkey. You know, they'd have to work through the school to get that to happen. But a lot of these churches also have special needs ministries. And I had one church, the very first like 40, 50 monkeys they gave away was to their special needs group so that every one of those kids could take one home and they can have that app too. So that's pretty cool. Thanks. And the churches who do that, I give the app to their kids as well because the app is for any kid, but I like to emphasize the hurting kids because that's where my heart is. But anybody who helps a hurting kid, they can get that app too. They can have it too. So that's how the church can help. So it's Carlitos4Kids.com, the number four, and they can see the mission opportunities there. They're year-round, doesn't have to be Bible school. We have some doing it for Christmas right now. Or they can either purchase a monkey for an individual kid. And I do take donations for people who feel led to donate. Maybe somebody in your audience isn't a children's pastor or something, but they are in a position where they can donate to a ministry they can believe in. I encourage you to go check it out on there and That's see awesome. For yourself. And then if God leads you, fine, you know.
That's great. That's great. Hey, we'll put all this in the show notes on our Podbean site. So if you go to Podbean, you can search Kid Ministry Collective, and we'll have all those links that Charlie mentioned in there. So you can go check all that out. So, hey, Charlie, thank you so much for being a part of this episode and for sharing your heart. We can't wait to see what God's going to do with this, and it's going to be cool. So,
hey, one more thing that I almost forgot. If any of your audience wants that app, that free app, so they can try it out for themselves and then give it away to the kids that they feel can use it, they can go to my website at valuedbygod.com, valuedbygod.com, and they can download the app from there, or they can get it in any app store. It works on any device, and it's free.
Awesome. Hey, I'm glad you mentioned that. That's good. That's good.
Yep, you bet.
All right. Well, that wraps up another edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. Thanks for listening. And again, if there's anything we can do for you, if you're looking for support, encouragement, prayer, coaching, reach out. And we'd be glad to help and encourage you, because that's what the Kid Ministry Collective is all about. So thanks again. And join me again for another episode of the KMC.
You've been listening to the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. If you'd like to connect with us, we encourage you to join the Kids Ministry Collective Facebook group or contact me on Twitter at PTBump. We'd also love for you to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review for us so that we can help others learn about this podcast. Our goal of the KMC comes from Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We hope you'll join us again real soon for another KMC podcast.